Would you turn to Ephesians 3? Start at verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." I want you to underline inner man, if you would, please. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Right where you are, just say, "I will be filled with all the fullness of God." And if you'd like to, you can underline that or highlight that. Verse 20. "Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Let me stop there for a moment. "Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think." God is able to do more than we can ask or think. And not just more, exceedingly abundantly more. But there's a condition. There's a condition. "According to the power that worketh in us." Every time I read that scripture, I never focus on God doing exceedingly abundantly above whatever I ask or think. I mean, the first time I read it, I did, because I was excited. But I kept reading, and the excitement, not that it didn't leave, but I was like, oh. Because this says, "He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think." But then it says, "According to the power that's at work in us." And when I started thinking about that, every time I read that scripture now, I stop and think, okay, what is the power that's at work in me? I know what it should be. I know what I received. But do I have it at work in me? In my basement, there is a Bowflex, a treadmill. I don't know what they call that machine you hang upside down on. I have one of those. I have a Bowflex Max 5. And we recently added a recumbent bicycle. I have all the equipment that I need, that I could get my body in exceedingly abundant before I could ask for things shape. I have everything that I need. It's in there. Don't use it. I used a recumbent bike last night, and I'm starting to use, if we call one night starting, but you got to start somewhere. But I have everything I need. I'm not using it. If I use it, it will do wonders for this body. No, I'm not looking to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, but it'd be nice to walk around, you know, and pick up things you need to pick up and not have any aches and pains and things like that. And I can have all of that if I use what was purchased for me and then given to me. We have the power of God in us. We're going to see some instances of that. But if we don't use it, it'll be of no value to us. We have God who wants to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or think. But it's a fundamental, it's a principle. It's according to the power that's at work in us. So one of the questions that I want you to think about is, what are you doing? Or let me say it this way. Have you allowed the power of God that's in you to have free reign? Or do we keep it compartmentalized? I always use sports analogies. I was an athlete. I was a basketball player. And when you're an athlete, there are times that call for you to go beyond the call of duty. Once I had to play every minute, every second, really, of a triple overtime basketball game. And our coach expected me to have the same energy at the end of the game that I had at the beginning of the game. And that may seem impossible, but it's not. It all depends on what you put into yourself during your practices and your workouts and your exercises. You know, if you only practice when you go to practice, you may be okay. But I put in work every day, whether there was a practice or not. I worked out every day. I wasn't a Christian then, so it included Sundays. I would just work out because I wanted to be able to go. I didn't want to go the extra mile. I want to go the extra 10 miles if called on. And whether or not I get through whatever the situation calls for is dependent on my preparation, because it's in the preparation that you get what you need. I was being filled with strength and endurance when I trained. I worked on things my coach told me I needed to do better. And because I had the strength and endurance and the wisdom from the coach, it produced in me a level of confidence that came out during games, no matter what happened. Even games that we lost, I was convinced we were going to win and played like it because of the way I trained, because of what was placed in me, and I let what was placed in me operate through me. But the key is they had to be put there in the first place. That's number one. And number two, I had to believe in them. What was put in me, I had to believe in. I had to trust that it would carry me through. I had to have faith in my training, faith in my instruction. Well, now, Ephesians 3:19 tells us that we can know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. So we have a couple of things going for us here. We have the love of God in us, which lets us know we can have, in addition to his love, the whole full, whatever makes God God, we have in us. And we're filled now. And because we're filled now, God should be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But the question is, a question is, what is the power that's at work? What do you mean by that? Well, since we're filled with the love of God, which allows us to have the whole fullness of God, when people see us, do they see God? Are we walking around? I'm going to read the scripture in Mark in a minute. But are we walking around spreading the gospel? You know, I had a conversation with someone, and they were talking about push back the darkness. And I said, we don't have to push back the darkness. All we have to do is what Jesus said, let our light so shine. And John wrote that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. So I don't have to push the darkness back. I just have to have the light that's in me shine, and the darkness will have to leave because it can't overcome the light. when the earth was dark and void, God simply said, let there be light. And there was light. When light showed up, darkness left. We need to understand that principle. We're filled with the light. That's why Jesus said, let it shine. Is the light operating in us? Is the light operating through us? We have it. It's available to work in us. Look at Mark 16. We know this is the Great Commission. Beginning at verse 14, King James Version. Afterwards, he, meaning Jesus, appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Says he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. All this is done in the name of Jesus. And they went forth and preached everywhere, because they were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So Jesus told them that the gospel would be shared by preaching and the performance of miraculous signs in his name. In his name. Because the power to make them work is in the name of Jesus. Not in my name. It's not in your name. It's in the name of Jesus will miraculous signs be done more than you expect. You'll do things that you didn't think you could ever do if you're allowing the power of God to work through you. Look at Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. That's kind of like the people that come up to you today. Can walk up to your car and they ask if you have any spare change. I tell them, no, I don't have spare change, but I have some that I can give you. But it's not necessarily spare. But who, seeing Peter and John, verse 3, about to go into the temple, ask an alms? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Please underline such as I have. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, being the former lame man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Why did that happen? Peter and John remembered the instructions that they were given by Jesus before he ascended. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow in my name. One of those signs is you will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. It didn't matter to them that they were in an unbelieving environment. That didn't matter. They didn't even question the man and ask how long he's been in that condition. Because it didn't matter. All that mattered was here was someone that needed a miracle, and two miracle workers happened to walk by. And not just two miracle workers, two men walked by that had the right power at work in them. And they released it. When we said in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up, the power that was in him came out of him. And while it may not have been exceedingly abundantly above what they thought, it certainly was exceedingly abundantly above what that man thought. But it happened because of the power that they allowed to be at work in him. That was one of the first acts of the early church. And what we need to understand is, just like that drew a crowd, because well over 3,000 people came to the church because of that incident, the same thing will happen in 2023. The same thing is going to happen in 2023, because believers are going to start acting on the power, on the right power working in us. In Romans 8, King James Version, verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So what we need, the right power that we need has already been given to us. We have to now let it loose. One of the things that one of this, my assistant coaches said to the coach, because the coach had a very kind of conservative game plan. We were winning the game, but it was closer than it should have been. And the assistant coach came over and said, coach, you need to do something different. And the coach said, well, what do I need to do? He said, turn your horses loose. Which he meant, let the big guys go in and play like big guys. Well, we need to let the power in us come out of us and do what it's supposed to do. We have to turn it loose. Philippians 2:13 in the Passion Translation says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. We all should be excited about doing things for God, because he put that passion to do what pleases him into us already. He implanted it within us. It should never be about what we like or don't like. It should always be about what pleases him. And since it's about what pleases him, it'd be a good thing to find out, what is it that really pleases God? Well, the answer to that is in Hebrews 11. King James Version, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And now, if you believe that God is, then you should believe everything that's said about him. Because if God is, the Word is, Christ is, everything that God said we can do is. But it's going to take faith to unleash it. So since faith is the only way that we can please God, faith needs to be included in that power that's at work in us. Because we have to have faith to believe the power was put in me. We have to have faith to believe the power can come out of me and do the things I sent it out there to do. And you have faith to believe that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to the working of the power that's in me. And I have the right power that's in me. Like that movie, could have the right stuff. We have the right stuff. But that verse, Ephesians 20, and I'm going to mention it several times this evening. Now, to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, is giving us another message. This is saying that whether or not you receive exceedingly abundantly above is not up to God or the devil. It's specifically determined by the power that's at work in you and the power that's at work in me. It doesn't matter, folks, what's going on in your life, around your life. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what is the power that's at work at you at that moment? Not what we did yesterday, not what we're planning to do next month or 6 months from now. Right now, at this second, what is the power that's at work in me? And if it's not right, fix it. Just fix it. That same verse, Ephesians 3:20, in a translation called the Concordance Literal New Testament, says, now to him who is able to do super excessively above all that we're requesting, apprehending, according to the power that is operating in us. So it's letting us know again, God will do super excessively above all that we're requesting or thinking about, but it's according to what we have in operation in us. I know you're not in the room, but I'm going to act like, oh, you need to say this. God's going to do super excessively above all that I ask or request because the right power is working in me. You need to believe that. The right power needs to be working in you and in me. Let me show you this in action. I'm not going to keep you too much longer. Luke 10. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So he had sent some out, now he sent 70 more out. He sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. So they were like his forerunners. Therefore he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Then he told them, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And he told them, don't take money, no shoes, and don't talk to anybody along the way. Don't salute no man by the way. And into whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. He's like, stay put. Then he tells them in verse 9, he gives them something very specific. And heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. This is what Jesus told them. So if Jesus tells you to do something, you expect that's what's going to happen. Well, they were no different. They expected that was going to happen. But then we get down to verse 17. And it says, the 70 came back with joy, saying, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. That used to bother me. Because I would think, well, what did you expect? But then I realized, in Jesus' instruction to them, he never mentioned anything about devils. Why? He wasn't concerned about them. He gave instructions on what he wanted them to do, and he told them, heal the sick, so they expected all of that. But what they because they allowed their instructions from Jesus to be the power that they were operating in, they found that even the devils are subject to us through their name. That's what God doing exceedingly abundantly above what they thought, because they didn't ask for it. But they thought, they expected to heal the sick. They expected, you know, to have places to stay. They never expected that even the demons would be subject to them when they used the name of Jesus. But they had the right stuff, the right power at work in them. And that power in them came out of them, and the demons recognized it and had to back off. And they were excited about that. As we should be. If you read that out, Jesus will tell them, don't be excited about that. Be excited because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I get excited when demons are subject to me when I use the name of Jesus. But I thought it was interesting. They didn't come back and talk about healing the sick and all the healings that they've. They didn't talk about that. They talked about what they didn't expect to happen. It happened. Why did it happen? As I've been saying, because they had the right power at work in them. One last thought. Why was Jesus able to do mighty works? Why was he able to impart things into people? Real, very, very simple, easy to memorize scripture. John 10, verse 30. Very easy. I and my Father are one. Why is that so powerful? Jesus is saying, I and my Father, we're not two different people. We are one. We're one. We're one. And I have news for you. You're one with the Father also. You're one with Christ. When we acknowledge Christ and we ask him to come and live in our heart, he came. So if he and the Father are one and he came into our heart, guess who came with him? The Father. So how could we not operate with the right power when we have the right power resident in us right now? All the time, forever. Forever. As long as we live alive, we have the power of Christ inside. He was one with the Father, so we're one with the Father. And all we have to do is let the power of the Father's presence in us come out of us. And we will see exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We'll start experiencing it because of his presence and power at work in us. God will do exceeding abundantly above all you can ever ask or think because of the power that's at work in you right at that moment. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Thank you, Lord, that you'll seal this message into the hearts of the hearers, because you want to be able to move exceedingly abundantly above what they can ask or think. You want to move on everyone's behalf. We have to understand that the power is already in us. We just have to let it loose. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit will give revelation to all of us as to what that means and will let us know when we're allowing the wrong power to show. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just got finished saying one powerful, very powerful truth, and one of the reasons why Jesus was able to do the things that he did, and why we're able to do the things that we do, the principle is I and the Father are one. Well, how do you get to be one? Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father without going through him. So the first thing we need to do is receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. You'll have the right power in you, and then you'll learn how to release it, how to let it have full, as we say, full sway in your body, in your life, in your thoughts, in all your actions, in all your words. You'll have the right power coming out. And you do that just by just saying this confession. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And after 3 days in hell, I believe you raised him from the dead. So because I believe that, Jesus, I'm turning to you now. And I give myself to you wholly, totally, fully. Come in, live in my heart. I turn from my past ways, and I turn towards you when I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that confession and you believed it, you meant it, according to the Bible, you just got born again. You asked Jesus to come and live in your heart, and he did. He did. All you have to do is believe it and learn what it means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we'll help you do that. You see contact information on your screen. Please use that information and let us know. I said that prayer with Pastor Greg. I'm born again. What do I do next? And we'll get some information to you. And as always, if you have any questions about anything that I shared with you tonight, use the same contact information and just ask your question. I will get back to you, I promise. Probably won't be the same day your communication comes in, but it won't be too long after that you will hear from me.